Welcome to Pantano Christian Church. This is the weekend of January 13th and 14th, 2007. Join us now as Pastor Glenn Elliott presents the last teaching of our Step Up series entitled, Sharing Life Together. And now, here's Pastor Glenn.
Good morning. A little chilly Tucson morning. We finally get a little coolness. Yes! Waiting for the snow on Mount Lemmon. I'm waiting and waiting. Oh, hey, this is Connect Sunday, and in a little bit we're going to talk more about what Connect Sunday means, and we're going to talk about life groups. But first I want to kind of tell you where we're going to be going in our sermon series from now through May. This week, today, ends a three-week series, which we called 2007 Step Up. And then starting next week, we're going to do a new series called Surprised by Jesus, a fresh look at Jesus and His message. Now, we're not going to discover a new Jesus, and we're not actually going to learn anything we actually haven't heard, but there's some things that Jesus says and does that are really surprising and shocking. They're so countercultural. They are so not the conventional wisdom that we're used to, that we're going to just, I hope that we'll be surprised again by the powerful message of Jesus. And so we'll be doing that for 6 weeks. The posters are out in the foyer if you want to see the topics. You won't want to miss the last one of that series. The last one is called Go to Hell. Because Jesus told some people, literally, to go to hell. And we're going to see the context and why and what prompted him to say that. And I had a few people beg me not to use that title, but that's what Jesus says. And we're going to be surprised by Jesus, I think. And then after that, we're going to do a four-week series called Just Walk Across the Room. And this is going to be a series that will help us in some very practical ways to figure out how we can make an eternal difference in people's lives by sometimes literally or figuratively walking across the room, connecting with people with genuine care and concern and compassion and acceptance, and an opportunity and the practical ways that we can love people to Jesus. So we're going to do that right up to Easter. And then Tim and I are going to do a two-week series for the week before Easter and Easter. Just again, focusing on what Jesus did for us on the cross and through His resurrection. And then on Easter weekend, we're going to invite people to the series that follows Easter, and that's a seven-week series called Questions. Just the questions that both Christians and non-Christians ask that really are the tough questions but are important questions to us. And we're going to look at that whole series. So that'll take us up through about May, and we've got a great series that are coming up this whole time. And this is already pretty well planned out, and we're excited about it and just want to let you know where we're going. So today, though, we're going to finish up Step Up, and we're talking about the step. We introduced this, actually I introduced Step New Year's weekend. And if you weren't here, I'd really encourage you to go online and listen to the podcast where we introduce Step, or get the order the CD back at the tape at the CD counter. And it just really introducing what Step means. And Step, for us here at Pantano, is our version of discipleship. Discipleship is following Jesus. And so what Step is all about is it's the journey or the pathway that helps us to follow Jesus well. And these really become our four core values here at Pantano. And we want each and every one of us to be involved in Step at some levels. Many of us are already involved in different parts of it, but as we look at the whole piece of that, we're going to experience what it means to follow Jesus. Now, let's do a little review, and I want you to help me with the review. So those of you who've already figured out what Step is, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you guys to help me, all right? So I'm going to go up to the courts. Look how full the courts are here. Yeah. Woohoo! All right, courts, here's the way this is going to work. I want somebody here. Don't say it out loud. Okay, this is just like school, okay? I want somebody here in the volleyball courts here to tell me what the S in Step stands for. Raise your hand and just somebody be brave enough to tell me what the S in Step stands for. Who's brave up here? Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. All right, we got somebody here who would clear over here. All right, what does S in Step stand for? I can't get clear over there. Oh, did you hear that? She yelled it out. Sharing life together. That is exactly right. That's what the S is. And you get a prize. You get a specialty coffee at the Holy Grounds Cafe. All right. Okay, so she got that right. S, sharing life together. All right, now, same deal down here. Who can tell me what the T in STEP stands for in this section right here? Raise your hand. Who wants to be brave? Come on, there's a Holy Ground Cafe coffee waiting for you. All right, here we go.
Transforming into Christ-likeness.
Transforming into Christ-likeness. Now, technically she cheated because I saw her looking at her book. Golly, just like in school, we got cheaters. Transforming into Christ-likeness. All right, don't look at your pathway handbook because that's where the answer is. Now, Saturday night crowd didn't do this. Oh, my goodness. This group needs Jesus. All right. What does the E stand for? Who wants to raise their hand who's not a cheater? Oh, I shouldn't have put it that way. No, you're next. Come on, who wants to give me a T?
I ditched that class.
Come on. I mean an E. Whoa, E. Come on. Here we go. We got an honest person in the crowd.
I looked at the book.
Oh! All right, give it to us anyway.
Entrusting.
No. Yeah.
Entrusting with time and talent.
Entrusting with time and talents. All right. Entrusted with time, talents, and treasures. That's what E stands for. In other words, God has given us all of this. What do we do with it for His purposes? All right? All right, so that was, let's get this going here. That was E. Now, okay, wait, somebody raise their hand first. Give me the P in STEP.
Participating in the Great Commandment and Great Commission.
All right, A student. There you go. Cool, that is the P. Participating in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We really believe that if we will incorporate all four of these letters of this acronym in our lives, I'm messing up the sound guys by putting this to my mouth here, that we will truly continue to grow, to connect with God, to become more and more like Jesus, and to be fruitful in our lives. Okay? And this is a process of life. That's why we call this a pathway or a journey, because we continually grow in these areas that God will become more and more real in us and through us to touch other people's lives. And so that's why we're introducing this whole idea of STEP, and we want to step up this year. Now, this is Connect Weekend. What is Connect Weekend? And why is Connect Weekend so important? What we want to do today is focus on the S of STEP, sharing life together. And the way that we do that the best is in life groups. And so that's why we do Connect. What we're going to do when we finish our services in the Coop Court, which is our old indoor basketball court, now we're calling Coop Court. Our life groups are all set up. The men's life groups are out on the out in the courtyard area outside. And it's a chance to connect with other people in life groups. And as we connect through other people, we connect with God. And that's why these weekends are so important. We do this 3 times a year at the beginning of each trimester. And this is the trimester that leads us then through our winter and spring time. So life groups are really the core of who we are here at Pantano. Life groups allow us to connect in deep ways with people and with God. And they are a powerful, powerful way that God brings about change and transformation in our lives in so many ways. Life groups help us live life well. And in a church this size, we can't know everybody. We can't be known by everybody. And it's real easy to fall in the cracks, so to speak. And so it's through the context of life groups that life becomes real and meaningful. In the Pathway Handbook, on that opening covers, we've defined life groups this way and sharing life together this way. We connect with God and others in life groups where we can know others and be known by them, where we can serve and be served. Life groups are the core element of community at PCC. It's a place to be known and to know others, where you can be served or you can serve others. It's a place where real life happens with real people that you journey this whole journey of following Jesus with, okay? And so we believe that life groups are critical to our spiritual well-being and spiritual health. Okay? They're not just another program here at Pantano Christian Church. They are the core of who we are as a church. Okay, You can't live well following Jesus by just coming to a weekend service. That's an important part of our life, but you can't, that's not enough. We need the relationships with others to truly journey well. Now, we basically have a choice on how we want to live life and specifically how we want to follow Jesus. And what I want to do is just simplify that to say there's basically two choices, okay? You know, I'm just trying to make this uncomplicated. There's basically two choices in how we'll follow Jesus. And I want to look at those two paths because they lead us in very different ways. And the first one is what I call the Lone Ranger. Hi-yo, Silver! Brings back memories for a few of you. One approach to living life, and especially following Jesus, is the Lone Ranger approach. Now, for our purposes, the Lone Ranger is a person who's a Christian, okay? We're describing a person who's chosen to live their life with Christ, but basically on their own. Now, this person, for our description, is a good person. They love God. They serve and they give and they're saved. We're not questioning whether this person's a Christian or not. We're not questioning whether they're saved. But a person who's chosen to live life basically alone following God puts themselves in a really bad spot because the fact is they're alone. And being alone and isolated has with it some limitations. It limits how much we can experience God. I'm not saying we can't experience God alone, but it limits how much we can experience God and how deep we'll experience Him. And it puts us in some places of danger. And it reminds me of the person whose picture is on the screen, Ted Haggard. I want to talk about Ted Haggard for a moment. Some of you will remember in November, the press revealed that Ted Haggard, who was the founding pastor of New Life Church in Colorado Springs, a rather large church, had committed sexual immorality. To this day, we were never given the exact details of that. But he resigned as pastor of that church and was also the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, a national major organization that he also resigned because of his sexual immorality. I feel like I know Ted Haggard fairly well. I'm not personal friends with him, but I've read a number of his books. I've sat in his church listening to his teaching. I've been at conferences where he's spoken. And in fact, Ted Haggard was actually right here at Pantano about 5 years ago or so and met with our staff and we had some time with him. And I believe that Ted Haggard was a man who loved God, who loves God. A man who truly wants to do what Jesus wants in his life. A man that I believe is a true Christian, not a fake, not a phony. But he made a serious, serious mistake. And interesting, as the news reports began to go out, and I went online and read the letter that he had written to his church as he resigned, one of the things that Ted Haggard said was that he got to a place where he was alone and isolated himself from others. And when we get isolated, it's then that we're in danger of making some critical, catastrophic mistakes and decisions. Ted Haggard said, "Live your life as if there are no secrets." He said that right here in our auditorium. The question is, how do we live our lives as if there are no secrets? And the answer is actually very obvious. It only happens as we share life together in true, honest relationship. Pastor Roger says, we are all one decision away from catastrophe. True? All of us are one decision away from catastrophe. We can all make that fatal decision, that terrible decision. And by the way, I want to go back to Ted Haggard. I want us to pray for that man and his family. You know, it's real easy to throw stones at pastors who commit serious sin. We just need to pray for people like that because we are all like Ted Haggard's. We can all make those decisions in a moment. Okay? None of us are free from that. But that's why it's so important to be involved in a life group where it's a very, very safe place. A safe place where we can be transparent, where we can be honest about our struggles. We can be honest about our questions. Where we can experience life with people because we've opened our lives to others. And that's exactly what Ted Haggard had not followed through on. His own thinking, his own advice, he had just kept that out of his life, so he stayed isolated. He didn't have that safe place where he could admit his struggles and get help and encouragement. Now, was the Lone Ranger really alone? No, there's Tonto! And Tonto at least had a real name, you know? And the fact is that this really was a dynamic duo. Okay, and in this old poster of one of the old real serials, you know, shows there the Lone Ranger and Tonto together. I'm reminded of the story because they really were together and they really relied on each other. But one time, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were surrounded by 100 Indians, and the Lone Ranger looks around and there is no way of escape. He knows they are toast. And these Indians that have surrounded them are very, very hostile, and he's just very, very concerned. And so he turns to Tonto and he says, "Tonto, how are we going to get out of this mess?" And Tonto looks at him and says, "Who we, white man?" So they were together most of the time. Do you know that Jesus never did life alone? As soon as he begins his ministry, what does Jesus do? He selects 12 guys to just live life together. In fact, the invitation was, "Come join me." And they lived life together. And then when Jesus, after he'd begun to train his disciples, and the very first mission he sends them out, does he send them out alone? No. He sends them out two by two. And then later, when he sends, there's more followers and there's 70 of them, he sends 70 out in Luke, he sends them out two by two, never alone. Jesus said in Matthew 18, "When two or three have gathered together in my name, I am with them." And there's this whole teaching throughout all of Jesus' teachings about always being together, that it's never alone, it's always with others, it's always two or more. Witnesses have to be two or more, on and on and on. And so Jesus just continually teaches us how important it is to do life together. And then we've got the story of the birth of the church. And we find in Acts 2, this is a phenomenal story. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. The Bibles that are in front of you, page 772, you can open to there. We're going to look at what happened. And what happens in Acts chapter 2 is this. This is the birth of the church. Peter preaches that Jesus has resurrected. He has now ascended back into heaven. And the disciples are together. Peter preaches this first sermon and 2,000 people respond, and it's the beginning of the church. And we have in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, a description of what's happening with these new believers. Listen to what it says here. Acts 2, 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Wow. What an incredible description of what living life together is all about. I mean, this is an amazing story. They were together. They were learning from the apostles, which, of course, at that time, the New Testament hadn't been written because it was being written right in their own experience. They were learning from them firsthand. They were applying God's word, which we now have in written form. They were praying together. They were deeply connected with each other. It wasn't a casual thing. It wasn't like, "I'll see you once a week." It was, they were connected to each other throughout the week, and they were sharing everything together. Wow. It was as if nobody was claiming ownership of their own. It would all belong to God, and they gave it to whoever had need. And they were serving each other, and they were serving those outside of their group. to the point that they were had a powerful influence and impact on their city, the city of Jerusalem. In fact, people looked at that brand new church and said, wow, there's something significant going on here. And I believe that God still is about doing that today. That life groups provide the best chance to reduplicate what we see there in that very first church in Acts chapter 2. That in our life groups, we can experience the same kinds of things that they were experiencing and having the same kind of influence in other people's lives. Now, let's talk in practical terms about life groups and what it means to share life together. Again, we believe that life groups are just essential to our spiritual well-being and to following Jesus well. And here's some of the reasons why. As you've heard Tim Coop say this over and over. This is a Coopism. We got Coop Court, now we got Coopisms. He probably stole it from somebody else too, but that doesn't matter. As the church gets larger, you've heard this, it must get smaller. You know, this was brought home so real to me just in the last few weeks. A few weeks ago, I've told you about my life group. We meet on Wednesday nights. We've been together now for over 3 years. And a few weeks ago, I had to replace the fuel pump in my van, which means dropping the gas tank, which is not an easy project. And I couldn't afford to have the mechanic do it. And so I just mentioned it to my life group. And one of the guys in my life group says, I'll help you. And he came over on a Friday, and we got this thing done in about 2.5 hours, which was really a short time, because if I'd have been doing it alone, it would have been an all-day project. You know, if I hadn't been a part of a life group, nobody would have known I had that need. And I would have struggled doing it myself. And that's what happens in life groups. Why the church has to get smaller as it gets larger is we need to be in relationships where people can know that we have needs. Otherwise, we just are lost. And if you're not in a life group and something happens in your life, you get sick and you have to go to the hospital. Who knows about it? See, if you're not in a life group, you can be at the hospital and nobody knows. I just got back from a couple days off and I had a message on the phone and it said one of the members of our life group was in the hospital. Who do they call? They call the life group because that's the place where you're known. And you know others. It's the place where you serve others and others serve you. That's why life groups are so, so critical for us. Also, life groups are the very best place to study the Bible, to understand it, to discuss it, and to apply it. You know, we gather here 52 weekends a year. And you get a 30-minute message. But you know what? In this context, this is one way. I'm talking to you, and I don't let you talk back to me. No, that's not really true, but it'd be kind of chaotic if we were all having this discussion with all of us here. It doesn't work here. And I might say something and you have a question about what I said or you have a question about how to apply that personally in your specific situation. And that doesn't happen here, but that's what happens in life groups. See, life groups are the very best place to really study and understand and apply the scripture. Because it's in a smaller context where you can have the time to really process it in a personal way. And then the real encouraging thing about life groups is not only do you process it and understand it, but that group can help you obey what God has said and be kind of an accountability as you give them permission to do that. And it's important that we do study the scripture in life groups because we can't do all that here on the weekends. Not only not in the services, but we can't offer enough classes on our campus because we don't have enough space for adult Bible school classes on our campus. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that our youth program is just busting the walls. They are wall-to-wall kids in our youth program on Sunday mornings. And our same with our children's ministry. They are growing. They need more and more rooms. And so we're going to take that whole town hall, which is this building right back behind us over here. We're going to take that and we're going to convert that into a larger big room for the youth. And also we're going to convert some of the classrooms into children's classrooms. And so we're calling that Extreme Makeover Town Hall Edition. Okay? And we'll talk more about that later, but we're going to do the work ourselves. But because of that, we're going to have less and less classrooms for adult classes so that the study of Scripture's got to happen in the life groups. And then we really believe that we live out step, that pathway of discipleship best in life groups. obviously the S, sharing life together, happens best in life groups. But also our transformation to become more and more like Jesus, that happens best in that kind of a community, in that kind of relationships. And entrusting all that we have, man, what a great way to serve each other. And to have accountability for using all that God has given us for His purposes in that context. And then, of course, participating. Boy, there is nothing better than participating with your life group in ministry to others. My life group, constantly is going down to the Rodeo Fairground neighborhood, and we love working down there. We also just recently sent one of our own members to Peru. You know, we helped financially support them, sent them. He came back with the report, and now our life group is going to continue to participate in Peru with a microenterprise development project there. And that happens in the context of life group. We serve best together. We participate best in groups that way. And so we ultimately make a difference. That's the cool part of it. That life groups aren't just there to serve ourselves, but we gather together to serve others. And that's what life groups are all about. I want to give you an example of that. Jobs for Life is a new life group that's starting up. And I've asked Beth Walkup, who is the wife of our mayor, Bob Walkup. Come on over here, Beth, right in the middle. To join us and to talk to us about this new life group that's starting up called Jobs for Life. You know, I mentioned last weekend that my dream is that Pantano would be at such a place that we would be blessing our city, that the city would come to us and ask us to participate. Well, you have an example of this morning, and Beth's going to share about Jobs for Life and this whole new way that we can, together in life, sharing life together, can make a difference in people's lives. Talk about Jobs for Life.
Good morning.
Are we on? I didn't turn it on. It would help if I turned you on. There we go.
Did you all hear me?
There we go.
Jobs for Life is a biblically based job, getting a job readiness program for people who are unemployed, underemployed, or sometimes unhappily employed. And it's designed, what we need a life group for is for this life group to put this program on for those who are looking for jobs or better jobs. And it's got its own curriculum, it's got everything it needs. And one of the things that makes it so successful is a mentor program. We call the mentors champions. And one of the things that it teaches is it teaches a lot of the biblical principles like respect for authority. What do you think about your boss? It teaches honesty and integrity. Think about filling out a job application. It teaches a lot of things. And I had the privilege of being a champion about 4 years ago for a young woman who was in her late 20s. I'll call her April. And she had been unemployed her whole life. She had been severely abused as a child by both family and cult. She's had 11 surgeries because of the abuse that she had taken. She had been diagnosed with over 20 different personalities. She had 5 different diagnoses for mental illness. She was a SMI, seriously mentally impaired, I think is what it's called. And she was living off of $500 a month. Often under a bridge, and that was her life. And she told me that she did not, when I met her, that she did not believe that she was loved. Of course she wasn't when she grew up. She did not understand love. She didn't love herself. And she didn't understand God's love. And so she came into this program, and I was blessed to be her champion. And through this 8-week course, she learned all about God and what He expects of us in work. But she also learned practical things, again, about how to fill out a job application form when she'd been in the hospital, when she'd been arrested for drugs, when she'd been arrested for prostitution, when all these kinds of things. How do you fill out a job application? Well, she decided it was November that she was going to go get a part-time job because she wanted to give a gift to those who had been around her in this Jobs for Life course for Christmas. And she went down and applied, and she filled out that job application form honestly. And a lady called her up, and she said she was just shaking. And she went up to see the lady, and she said, "Are you still in a recovery program?" And she said, "Yes, I am." Well, good for you, she said. Stay with it. I'm going to forward your application. So it went up the line. The head guy came and looked at her application, called her up, and he said to her, I am going to hire you. I'm not even going to check your references because I've never seen anything so honest in my life. And she said that by the Jobs for Life group, by my love, by their love, by God's love, she began to love herself. She is now employed up to 36 hours a week. She has her own apartment. She's taking responsibility for her life. And it's all because of God working through Jobs for Life. So step outside. There's a way to get involved. And there's also a way to sign up for the class if you're interested or you know someone who might be.
Thank you. Beth also tells that it was in the context of that that this woman experienced love for the first time in her life and found the love of God through people who truly cared for her. Marty Parker, stand up, would you? This is Marty Parker. Marty Parker is leading this life group called Jobs for Life. And so connect with Marty and Beth at the table at our break. And if you're interested in being a part of that kind of a life group that's going to really change lives together. And by the way, it's critical to do that kind of ministry in a life group. I know that as I've heard Beth talk about our April, that you encounter some situations that are just overwhelming. How do you help these folks sometimes when the needs are so deep and so significant? And alone, you're going to burn out. You're not going to make it very well. But when you're a part of a group where you can get encouragement and advice and direction and know to keep your boundaries set and all that good stuff, you know, you can do that in a life group and really make a difference in people's lives. And because that's what life group's ultimately about. We're about making a difference and we're about blessing others through our lives together. All right. Now, I just want to remind you, we need to do this a few times a year. What are kind of our basic, simple, uncomplicated guidelines are for life groups. This is how it works here at Pantano. We ask that you join a life group at least for the trimester. Now, try to stick it out. Sometimes you get in a group and you go, this wasn't the right group. But you know, don't just bail right away. Make sure that you're working through whatever issues might be your own issues, not just assuming they're other people's issues. But if you got in the wrong life group, we give you permission to leave. You're not stuck. Okay, and a lot of people don't join life groups because they're afraid if they get in the wrong one, they won't be able to get out. And we've told our life group leaders to have grace. And if somebody wants to go, bless them, let them go in peace, and you're free to leave. So you're not stuck, okay? And also something that happens is sometimes you get in a particular life group one trimester, but then your needs change or you discover new needs in your life and you need to make a change to get something different. And that's absolutely okay, all right? And then each life group determines how they live life together. They determine what they're going to study, how they're going to pray, when they're going to meet, what activities they center around. That's completely up to the life group to make those decisions. And then in each life group, the core of it is living out step, is really practicing those things, engaging those things that will make a real difference in our lives and in our community. And if you don't find a life group you like, start your own. That's absolutely okay. We encourage that. We think that's the best thing ever. And on February 25th, we're going to have some training. If you want to start a life group, we'll give you some orientation and training and launch you and help you to do that because we just think that is wonderful. God may be putting something on your heart that you don't see already listed in the pathway handbook there or that you'll experience over here in Coop Court. And so start your own. That's absolutely okay. So here's what we're asking. Instead of concluding with so what, it's step up. All right? Join a life group if you're not in a life group. In just a little bit, Bill Fisher's going to give you instructions and you can encounter and talk to people who are doing all kinds of different life groups. Start your own life group. Contact Nikki at the office, and February 25th will be our next training. Live out step in your life group. I want to encourage all of you life group leaders here to have a discussion with your life groups about how well you're doing step. Take the pathway handbook, open it to the inside cover, and just have a discussion with your life group. How are we doing with each part of that S, T, E, P in our own life group, and how can we grow in those areas? And then a very concrete thing is we need to get started in doing our town hall extreme makeover edition, where we're going to do this project of remodeling ourselves, town hall. So we need some special people. We need some folks with particular skills and abilities. And you see them listed there: electricians, carpenters, plumbers, painters, masons, bricklayers. If you've got any of those skills and be willing to help, go to the extreme makeover table here in Coop Court. And let them know that you would be available with that. We also need some people that'll take some leadership roles. Some people who'd be foremen, four persons, it can be ladies as well, who would be willing to lead different groups through this project. We need folks, especially because we're doing all this ourselves, we're not contracting this out. We need those who are involved, who have experience in engineering and planning, and also with city permitting, so that we can get all of this done. And we hope to start construction remodeling in March. We'll also, life groups can sign up and say, hey, we as a life group want to be involved in this, and then we'll do general sign-ups a little bit later as we have the plan more fully developed. So that's where we're going with the town hall reconstruction, and it's a chance today to connect. This is all about connecting with others so that we can connect deeper with God. And may I just encourage you, not just to, by the way, if you're already in a life group and as we break, don't just leave. Connect with other people. This is just a great morning just to connect with people that maybe you don't get to see as often. And I love these three times a year because it's just a great celebration, kind of a church holiday for us. And so hang around. There's food and there's all kinds of stuff going on over in Coop Court. We come to our time of communion. And I've said this a number of times, that I just so look forward to communion. I like that we do it every week. Sometimes people say, but then doesn't it just get old and routine? Well, I brush my teeth a couple times a day, and you know, it's not old and routine. It's just things you got to do. But for me, communion is way more significant than brushing your teeth. It's a pause for me in my week. And I just want to encourage you to use communion this way. For me, it's that one time where I just kind of take a spiritual breath, where I exhale all the garbage of the week. You know, maybe I messed up. Maybe I hurt somebody. Maybe I was insensitive. Maybe I made a bad decision. Maybe I ignored God this week and kind of just did my own thing. Whatever it is, it's a time just to confess and get all that stuff out and say, that week is past. And God, I'm starting a new week with you. I'm starting afresh with you. And it's a time just to refocus on what Christ has done for us. That's why we hold the cup and the bread. And not only what he did for us, but what he wants to do for us right now. And it's just a time to recommit and reconnect to God, to really begin the week anew. And particularly today, if you've been taking the Lone Ranger approach and it's now time to share life together, this would be a great time to have a conversation with God about that before you go over an encounter. I really encourage people to come to these days, connect Sundays, and say, God, lead me to that place, to that group where I need to connect. And this would be a great time to do that. Let's pray. God, thank you that you took the huge step to come to earth, that you walked into our world and all that our world is, it's the beauty of it and the pain. You experience the best in people and you experience the worst in people, just like we do. And you understand what life is like day by day. And so we just come to you right now, just asking your spirit to be so real and present in our hearts. God, speak to us now in any of those things that we need to hear from you about. And God, we just invite you to lead us as we enter this new week. That God, you would be so real in our lives that others would experience you and not ourselves. Thank you for this time that you've asked us to do every week in remembrance of you. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can join us every weekend at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday evenings, as well as 9 and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. For more information, call us at Pantano Christian Church, 520-298-5395, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Thank you again for listening, and be blessed.